If we pay attention, if we pay close attention, then we see that our life, our hereafter, our death, all of the phases to come, the trials to come, the grave, time on the day of judgment, hellfire, paradise, all of these things, they rotate and hinge upon three things. On three questions. Everything from this world until the hereafter and paradise, akhirah, will rotate and hinge and are conditional upon three things. What are those three statements or points? Man rabbuka, man rasuluka, man dinukum. Yes? Who is your Rabb? Man rabbukum. Man rasulukum. Who is your Rasul? And man dinukum. And what is your deen? These three questions will be asked, and this is our whole life hereafter, and success is based on these three, the answers to these three questions. We just need to prepare for this. Allah Ta'ala has given us time in this world. Allah has given us a chance, 40 years, 50 years, 70 years, 80 years, 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, different number of years that life spans for different people, and we have just one objective, one duty, one task, one challenge, that these three questions we have to revise for, so when they're asked, we can answer them robustly. We can answer these three questions, our dunya will be good, our akhirah will be good, and the whole situation for us, wherever we are, whichever phase we're passing through, will be good. The first question, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are asked about our Creator. And Allah Ta'ala says such a strong and solid and very, you can say, robust link there should be between insan, the human being, and his Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that not for one second should a person be negligent or not aware of his Khaliq, his Creator. That every moment we should be paying attention to our Rabb, Allah. Total tawheed should overwhelm us. And such overwhelm, like Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, Ghalba Bilali, just like Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu was aware of his Lord, we should not be paying attention to something else, somebody else, not asking from somebody else. Just Allah's Jamal, Allah's Kamal, Allah's status, Allah's power, Allah's glory. Everything should be related and linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every hair and atom and molecule should be paying attention to the Rabb and Allah. If we have the connection with Allah, then the first question we have revised for. We have prepared the answer for it. Second question, man rasulukum? With the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should have deep, immense love, connection, regard, respect with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Total love, total and passion for his life, love for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we should obey him, imitate him, and such should we imitate and obey him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that our whole life should be a reflection of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every second of our life should be a practical implementation of the sunnah, practical demonstration of the sunnah. No footstep, no breath should pass without the imitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our total life from beginning to the end should be an imitation, obedience, and following the practical way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the second question, we have prepared for it and we've revised for it and we know the answer. And the third question, man deenukum? What is your deen? Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their orders, and to practice and to implement and obey their orders should be our lifestyle. Not one footstep should pass. Yes, not one. Whether it's an order to do or not to do. Yes, nahi or munkar. To do or not to do. To practice, to obey or to reject. Nothing in our life should go against these principles. If we are told to refrain from something, we should do that. And if we are told to do something, we should do that, and the basis of our life should be just one, and nothing number two, no second. Quran and Sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when this becomes our life, then all three questions we have prepared for, we have revised in our life, and we are ready to answer them. And this is the preparation that we conduct in this life. And if I depart from this world in this way, then I will be successful in the hereafter, inshallah. So, preparation, to prepare. The biggest obstacle for man to prepare for these three questions is the sin. Sin. Sinning. Committing the sins. When a person commits the sins, then the veil is raised between that individual and the answers to these three questions. Such deep veils, thick veils, tall veils. So the link with Allah is decreased. A person sins, he leaves Allah Ta'ala's ahkam, the veil comes up. If a person discards the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his life, the veil comes up. If a person does not make his deen correct and does not make the basis of his life as deen, then there's an obstacle, a barrier between him and the success of these answering these three questions. And such thick veils, such dark veils, that when the person will be asked these questions, then from behind the veils, he will not see anything. Now, if I ask you these three questions, you say, how can I forget Allah? Who will not say Allah when he's asked, Man Rabbukum? I will recognize, but the veils will be thick and dark and contaminated, that the person will not be able to remember, understand, feel who is Allah, who is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is my deen, because the veils, the barriers will be in between. Don't you see, for example, I'll give you the example in this world, such illnesses where a person, what is the name of that illness when a person starts to forget, when he starts to forget, and a person when he's in old life, says, have you eaten? He says, no, he has eaten. And he doesn't know if he has gone to urinate or not. He says, no, I've not done anything, or I've done it when he hasn't done it. So he starts to forget. A person starts to forget. So this is the example in front of us. So do you say, do you know that you've eaten? A person, this is like, what do we call dementia? Dementia. The dementia is the illness that person, if he's eaten, he says, no, I haven't eaten. Have you been to the toilet? Yes, I have, but he hasn't been to the toilet. So it is like a chronic or persistent disorder of the mental process of that person that is caused by some injury to the brain, etc. But if a person has a strong link with Allah, then there's no veil. So this was a physical veil. I gave an example of where the brain has a veil, cannot remember things correctly. Here now I'm talking about spiritual, where a person doesn't do what he's meant to do in life, obey Allah, Rasulullah SAW, and have deen as the lifestyle, then the veils spiritually come in between us. Let's drop the veils now. Let's remove the veils now. Because we don't want that we pass away and go into the grave with the veils in existence. Because brothers, remember very, very carefully that there the situation will be very difficult. We won't recognize Allah in the grave. We won't recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the grave. We won't be able to identify that deen was Allah, meant to be our lifestyle. So brothers, let's struggle now. Let's make effort now. Let's work hard now on these three questions and the answers that we need to prepare for these. The first question I have to ask, that do I have a link with Allah? Do I have the link with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do I obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do I like his sunnah? Do I implement his sunnah? Do I follow his lifestyle? Is the deen, my deen, the standard of the Quran and the sunnah? Is my life following Quran and sunnah? Or is it following the ego, my nafs? Very easily I can analyze my life and answer these questions. Then I should not deceive myself when I'm answering these questions. This is waste of time, deception. I'm only deceiving myself. If I put the veil due to the sins between myself and the answer to these three questions, I'm a loser. If it's the smallest so-called sin, then the veil will rise and become a barrier between me and my Rabb, my Creator. On the Day of Judgment, I won't be able to understand in my grave who is my Rabb and who is Rasulullah and what is my deen. Today I have a chance, I have life, I'm breathing, I'm alive, I'm moving, I've got health. Allah Ta'ala has given me this life and every second in this life to carry out the implementation and answers to these three questions. I should be aware and alert that I need to strengthen my ties with Allah, with Rasulullah and my deen, so that in my grave I can answer these questions. In this world I've got the chance, there will be no chance in the akhirah. There will be no chance. Allah's rahmah, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, mercy doesn't want to send a human being into hellfire, into punishment. Allah's rahmah is always seeking his creation. Come towards me, bow to me, prostrate to me, so that my rahmah, my mercy can surround you, envelope you, encapture you. encapsulate you. So to remove the veils of darkness, to remove the sin, to remove the barrier between us and the answer to these three questions, Allah Ta'ala says, I've made so many paths and methods that if you go to these paths and methods, then Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy, subhanallah, is such that if you get to the point of success, Allah Ta'ala says that due to your honesty, I will grab you from that point and give you the guidance from there on in. But sadness is the situation here, that Allah Ta'ala has given us the means and the methods and the ways to get close to the deen, and then we follow the sins and the barriers and the obstacles. Oh, I'm a sinner, I can't practice. For example, good gatherings, majalis, company of pious people, implementing good deeds. These are all the means that Allah Ta'ala has created for the human being, that at any time the barakah can come to you. We don't know what means or method will be of use to us and suddenly transform our life. I can be the biggest sin, but if I come to the shadow of Allah Ta'ala's rahmah and Allah's mercy through the means and the methods Allah Ta'ala has given to practice in this life, and I create that link and that connection, or I come into a certain environment which is a good environment, or I meet good company, pious company, or I learn some knowledge, etc., Allah Ta'ala says, my mercy is seeking you, and however you come to the shade of my mercy, Allah says, I will accept you and forgive all of your sins. So here the first point that we have to remember is that a sin is not bigger than Allah's rahmah. Doesn't matter how big a sin I am, and I get an opportunity to go to a good gathering, to sit in the company of a pious person, to shake a pious person's hand, or to practice a deed. If that sinner, that sinful person with stacks of sins gets the opportunity, then don't waste time, take advantage and grab the opportunity. But shaitan says, oh, you're a sinner, you're the worst, what's the point of you going to this majlis, sitting with this pious person, who cares about you, you're a waste of time, you're past it. No, say the answer to shaitan, I am the most sinful, I am the worst, I have no deeds, but there's a gathering, it's taking place, there's a wali of Allah in my vicinity, what difference does it make? I'll sit there at the back for a few seconds, for a few moments. Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala loves this action so much. Allah Ta'ala loves this action so much, where a person says that I'm nothing, I'm useless, I have no deeds, but I will go to the gathering and say, let's see what happens. But this is where we lose out and we get deceived by shaitan and our nafs. Allah says, take a step, take a few steps, take a few strides. Maybe here you will change and improve and become a good human being. Maybe these seconds or minutes that you will attend this gathering that you want to go to will change your life for the better. But if you bring your sins in front of you as an obstacle, if you make your sins as a fence, as a gate, as a barrier, no. Even 30 minutes ago, if you've committed a big sin, doesn't matter. Forget that sin. Discard that sin. Overlook that sin. Throw the dirt of the sin and say that I am the sinner. I am the worst sinner under the sun, but Allah, give me the chance. I want to come to your chance. Allah will grab you with His rahmah. Hazrat Bayazid Bastami, rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah have mercy on him. In Bistan, he was, mashallah, taking the rahmahs of Allah. He was grabbing the rahmahs of Allah. Hazrat Bayazid Bastami, rahmatullah, Allah Ta'ala opened the ocean of His mercy through the example of Hazrat Bayazid Bastami, rahmatullah, from far and wide. Sinners would come and dive into the ocean of Hazrat Bayazid Bastami, rahmatullah, and they would leave pure and clean. And day and night this was happening. And the world, it was common. It was famous. It was news. Everybody knew that Bayazid Bastami, Hazrat Sheikh, he is great. On the 6th grade in our Naqshbandi silsila, 6th grade, Hazrat Jafar Sadiq radiyallahu anhu, and he is the Khalifa, Hazrat Bayazid Bastami Ramdari, in the Naqshbandi silsila, he's in the Shajra, the chain of sheikhs, on the 6th step, the 6th level, the 6th number in the chain, Hazrat Bayazid Bastami Ramdari, subhanallah. Great Sheikh. And he stated about him that his maqam, his level from the walis wala is such, just like Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam is from all of the angels, the same way Hazrat Bayazid Bastami Ramdari is like that amongst all of the other awliya. And where the aqabareen, the maqam of the awliya is, where their knowledge of tawheed finishes, that's where it initiates for Hazrat Bayazid Bastami rahmatullahi alayhi. And this is how Allah Ta'ala opened the ocean of Allah's rahmah and mercy. So we see shuur, awareness, consciousness, nowhere sinners, how can I say, shake his hand. Oh, I feel ashamed. I've just done zina. I've committed adultery. How will I shake the hand of the wali? I'm ashamed. No, no. The world was immersed and enjoying his company day and night. Hazrat Bayazid Bastami was distributing the goodness, the fares to people. People were coming and curing their sins and washing and bathing themselves from wrong. And where they were drowned in sin and darkness, they would bathe and cure and do tawbah, and then they would become better. And so one woman, she came to the vicinity, the town of Hazrat Bayazid Bastami rahmatullahi alayhi, and she made her base there, her headquarters there. She was not a modest woman. She was a modest woman, not bad, not good, sinful. And Hazrat Bayazid Bastami was told that, look, on one side the whole world, the people of the world are benefiting. There's tahajjud and dhikr. And on the other side, this woman, she has demonstrated her beauty and she's doing wrong actions. And when the night would fall and the darkness would fall, and the darvesh, the wali zawala would come to benefit from Hazrat Bayazid Bastami, and on the other side would be sins, there would be the line. Because the woman was there. She had made her headquarters and started her work, her immodest work, in that same locality of Bistam, where Hazrat Bayazid rahmatullah was from. So the noise, the clamor spread, that look, in this pious town, city, this woman, she's come here, she's running her work, she's a fahish, she's evil, she's sinful. Dahir, where there's nafs, there are all types of men. So there are good people and there are so bad people who have bad desires. And so there was a line outside her home, people wanting to meet her. So there was piety, there were good deeds. Hazrat Bayazid Bastami was giving her goodness and benefit, giving goodness and benefit to the people. And on the other side, we had this woman who had come and she was carrying out immoral actions. And people saying, why is this? How has this come here? But Allah's darwish, the wali of Allah, one day, he got up from his prayer mat, he took all of his staff, wrapped his cloak around him, he saw it's the evening time, and he went slowly, slowly towards the building, the property owned by that woman. And when he got there, first to make his number from the customers, the clients, and he went and knocked so that his number would come first. So he made the woman open the door and she was amazed. She said, which man is this? Who is this? So like respectful and good nafs. And she said, you have come to the wrong place. People like you don't come here. The masjid is that way, in that direction. And he replied, rahmatullahi, that what type of people come to you? She said, other people come, people who desire me. They come to me. And she said, I'm your customer, your client. I've come first, early. I'm your customer. And is this how you treat your customers, your clients? Tell me, allow me to come in. She was amazed, shocked, that he's become my customer today. And how she could she refuse? She said, please enter, come in. Hazrat Bayazid. And everyone is behind, shocked, distressed. Allahu Akbar, what's happened here? And that we were those who were following him, his lifestyle, his advice. And where has he gone? He's lost in this husn as well. Allahu Akbar. So he said, close the door. And she closed the door. Then Hazrat Bayazid rahmatullah said that this, your situation, how long does it carry on, your work? She said, until the morning. He said, all your clients and customers that come, that how much is the amount? She said, this is the amount they pay. He said, I will give you double of this, that from today I am just your customer myself. She said, okay, fine. And he said, I will give you another condition, but there's a condition here that what I do, you will have to do that. That's it. She thought, she said, okay, it makes no difference to me. I just need the money. This is my job. I just do it to make an earning. So whatever you say, I will do. As long as I get paid, that's fine. So you have bought me for a certain amount of time, so that's fine. So Hazrat Bayazid said, you see what I'm doing, look at what I'm doing, you carry on doing. So Hazrat Bayazid Bastami laid out his mat, she saw what he was doing. So she saw the prayer mat, then she laid down her cloak, her sheet, her veil, because she had made the contract, they had made the contract. And then he went and got the vessel, Hazrat Bayazid, and he started to do wudu. So she started to do wudu. Then after doing wudu, he came to his prayer mat. So she came to the prayer mat, her sheet, her cloth, and Hazrat Bayazid Bastami made niyyah, she made niyyah. Then he started salah. She started to pray salah. And this was the promise that whatever I do, the contract, the pact, the agreement, whatever I do, said Hazrat Bayazid before, then you do. And that's it. I will pay you. Contract made, accepted. So Hazrat Bayazid Bastami, after the long tilawat recitation, He went towards a ruku, bowing posture. She went to the ruku, subhanallah, she bowed in front of Allah. Then he came to qiyam, she came to qiyam. Hazrat Bayezid went into sajda prostration, Allahu Akbar. Then she went also into prostration. Sajda, prostration, great action, great position in front of the Lord Creator. Sajda. Yes, worship. What is that sajda? When you do the sajda alongside the wali of Allah, what is the value? Then ask Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, that what is sajda? What is prostration? We cannot understand the value of sajda. Until the day of judgment, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu fulfilled the value, demonstrated the value of sajda. Do you know how such a big sacrifice Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu gave? Through one prostration, his young children, grandchildren, thirsty, parched lips, wife, family, Ahlul Bayt, shackled, chained, went to the bazaar and they were murdered. The arrows were fired on them, the blood flowed and the sand was colored, discolored with their blood. And what was Hussein radiallahu anhu asking for? Please let me do one sajda, one prostration. And after that long, they gave the permission for sajda. And look at our masjids today. How tall are the minars? Beautiful, lush, thick carpets. Think at the time of Fajr, this masjid must be so distressed and sad that there are big minars, tall minars, and the minars look towards the locality and nobody is walking to the masjid at Fajr time. Where are those people who claim love for the masjid? Who claim love for the masjid? How many people come running to the masjid at Fajr? How many people like sajda, prostration? This masjid, this house of Allah, is the house of sujood. How many people are demonstrating the love of this masjid, the value of this masjid, through rubbing their foreheads on the floor at the time of salah? The biggest value of this masjid is the value of prostration. This is the house of prostration. Such a great action, prostration, brothers. And how this masjid must complain to Allah, where are my lovers? Where are the people who desire me? Where are those who want me? Where are those who made me? Where are those who laid the carpet? Where have those people gone? Where have their foreheads gone? Where are they sleeping? Where are they staying? Are they not? Is the carpet, the masjid, the minar not complaining to Allah? Are the minars not calling out, shouting out, Allah, where are those people? And we sleep with ease on our mattresses. We don't think the masjid of Allah is watching us, looking at us in this country. How Islam has been elevated through the masjids. So many people who don't believe, look at the ghumbat, the dome. Think about it. And how this ghumbat, the masjid, has elevated Islam. How the minars of elevated Islam. How many people who don't know about Allah, who don't believe in Allah, but then they see the masjid and then they believe in Allah. There are people who remember Allah, they do sajda, it's due to their actions. But those people who have come to the masjid, populated the masjid, then those who haven't, the masjid complains. Where are those people who don't come? Where are they sleeping? They claim love and Islam, but where are they? They haven't come. Where are they at Fajr time? When the day starts at Fajr time, why don't these people come to me? Because we have no value of prostration, my brothers, my friends. We don't know the reality of prostration. We don't know the value of prostration. We don't know the rank of prostration. What is the maqam? What is the rank? The sajda. People have totally given the effort and time of their life to taste the sajda. I have to ask Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He was shaheed in the masjid. His life passed away in the masjid whilst praying salah. Look at the sahaba, the companions radiallahu anhum. So the same sajda, Hazrat Bayezid Bastami rahmatullah, when he went into sajda, prostration, then she, that woman, also went into sajda. When a person rubs the head in prostration onto the earth, that was the time of acceptance. Then in the prostration position, Hazrat Bayezid said, my Malik, my Lord, it was my job to bring her to this position. Now it is your over to you, Allah, to change her heart. Because you are the one who changes the hearts. After saying that, Hazrat Bayezid Bastami Nadre raised his head, and that woman who was fahisha, impure, when she was going into sajda prostration, then she became the wali of Allah and raised her head and her life had changed. Her life had changed day and night. And the morning time came and the contract ended. This was the contract, wasn't it? Until the Fajr time, the adhan was called and Hazrat Bayezid Bastami Nadalai raised his prayer mat, picked it up, put it on his shoulder, took his tasbih in his hand and he descended slowly from the steps, and on that prayer mat was a great waliya of Allah, and with the sajda, with the crying and the sobbing, she was remembering Allah, and this was how her life changed. So my brothers, Allah's rahmah seeks a person through excuses. Where was that fahisha woman? And where was that impurity around her? And where is that rahmah? She recognized the rahmah of Allah, that the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah, that is what they bring. So brothers, what I wanted to say was this, that Allah, He give us the tawfiq to answer these three questions, and we should struggle for this, save ourselves from the sins, forget the temporary things, this is all deception. If we don't revise the answer for these three questions, if we aren't linked to Allah for what He wants, if we aren't linked to Rasulullah for what He brought to us, and if we don't have a connection with the deen for what Allah Ta'ala wants from us, then this is the standard. Yes, man rabbukum, follow Allah Ta'ala's ways, Rasulullah's ways, and the deen, then we should forget that we're living the successful life. To correct ourselves, to align ourselves, to come onto the right path, we need to take all of the means to go to a majlis, a good gathering, to a pious person's company. Definitely go there, spend time there. Don't look at your sins, rather look at the fadl of Allah and Allah's mercy. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite Durood Sharif.